on native species. And it's been going nuts to the point where they have been trying to eat it. They've been trying to kill it. So now they decide the only way they can eradicate this thing is to give them herpes. Welcome to Hey You Know It. My name is Jaquetta Sotmari, and I'm here with my co-host,
Katie Kazmir. Hey You Know It is a podcast that tells you how it is or how it should be.
You can listen to Hey You Know It on iTunes, a new episode every Monday.
And here they are, Jaquetta and Katie.
Okay. I was like, what is this? Listener email with advice.
All right, cool. So we have a combination listener email advice. We love getting listener email from people. If you send us a lovely email or a little segment piece, we'll read it on there. You can email us at heyyouknowit@gmail.com.
Yeah. Okay, this one is, the subject is breaking up over a haircut and advice on advice.
Okay, cool.
Said, did you guys see this from Dan Savage today? It fits perfectly with your recent discussion about the bad hairstyle issue some random woman was having on the internet.
Okay, yeah, so we reported a couple of weeks ago on a couple that was having issues because the man had a very outlandish hairstyle.
Yeah, but he was the greatest guy in the world. Yeah. He had all these great
The only thing wrong with him was his greasy pompadour or whatever it was.
And it wasn't all the time. Yeah. It was like
he had special occasions.
A haircut, and then he would style it in this pompadour. For special occasions. Yes. She hated it. She didn't know what to do. And it was like...
Not a Sha-na-na fan, I guess.
Yeah. So Julia was kind enough to send us this email with a link to this advice. So it's from Dan Savage, Savage Love.
Okay.
And we never really address Dan Savage because his advice is so good.
I just find him distasteful.
Oh, yeah.
And I never read his stuff. I don't know. I just find him smug, distasteful. And he writes about sex a lot.
Yeah.
Least sexy person I've ever seen. It's shocking. I mean, props to whoever's having all this sex with him so he has something to say. But anyway.
Okay.
Go ahead. Two different opinions on Dan Savage. And he just irks me. He looks like Ronald Reagan's son.
Yes, that's who I always thought it was. I confuse the two all the time. Mm-hmm. Whenever I'd see it, I'm like, oh, there's Ron Jr.
And I'm like, oh, it's Dan Savage. No, it's the other guy with the fin head. Okay. And a platform. Okay. We don't know why.
Okay, here we go. Where's this? Okay. I just got dumped. The backstory, I'm a lesbian in my mid-20s.
Okay.
I've been seeing this girl for about 10 months. In the beginning of the relationship, she said that while she liked me and wanted to continue seeing me,
I love that. So I thought, while I like you, comma.
Yeah. As a master's student and someone dealing with a lot of personal family problems in the last 2 years, she wasn't able to commit to a full-on relationship and had to prioritize school and herself. So she likes her and has the issues.
Okay. She's like, it's not you. I just don't have time for you.
Yeah.
Because of life.
Yeah. You know.
Yeah.
This all was fine with me since my previous relationship had been deeply codependent. And I have had a bad habit of putting my relationship first and myself second. So dating someone who had the other things going on in her life seemed like a good, healthy change for me.
So weird. I didn't date in my 20s. I had sex.
Yeah.
And then I got married.
There you go.
That's how it works. Because who has time for all this stuff?
Yeah.
You're so busy at that point in your life, working and going to school and doing stuff. A relationship just seems like, you know, not really tenable.
Fast forward to the 9-month mark. Okay. I've got myself.
Is that a mark? I don't think I ever made it to that, except for when I was married.
Okay. I've gotten myself accepted to grad schools, gotten a promotion at work, and have some exciting projects coming up.
Okay.
She quit smoking, was doing great at school, and while her financial situation was a little unsure, generally
she was broke as a joke.
She seemed to be doing well.
Okay.
All right. We were spending 2 to 4 nights a week together.
Usually, that's a lot.
Yeah, usually one weeknight and the weekend.
Okay.
At the time, as her time was more restricted due to school, I usually asked her when, if she had time to hang out, and I would work around her schedule.
Okay.
We had a great sex life. I felt independent, and I also felt in love.
Wow, this is too good. This is all too good. You should have known it was going bad.
Really, yeah. You can get all your stuff done. You have a good routine.
This is act one, and that was the horrible end of act one. Yeah. You're like, well, it happened.
While we hadn't talked about it getting more serious, it just naturally seemed to be getting more serious.
Okay.
All right. So it's progressing.
All right.
Like it should. While I know I was definitely holding back, I refrained from planning things too far in the future or counting on her too much.
Mm-hmm.
Then she started making plans for the summer, talking about camping and renting Airbnbs. Camping, you lost me there.
Yeah, I know. want me to. She I was like, drop it like a hot potato. Get out of there.
Everyone I'm dating is suggests camping. She introduced me to her family, and we had plans to meet my family in a few months.
They're only in their
20s. Yeah. I know, right?
Wow. Okay. Maybe things have changed.
If anyone says you want to go camping, I'm like, at what hotel?
Yes. Glamping. Yeah. It better be glamping.
Yeah. Glamorous camping. That's yeah. right.
The only camp I was down for was the drag variety.
Yeah.
You know?
She also proposed we plan a trip together once she finished school. Everything seemed great and easy. I was stupidly happy.
Mm-hmm.
God.
Sounds like it.
Then, not 3 weeks later, I met her family, which went really well, and she said I got along with them better than any of her exes.
How many people have been in there? They're only in their early
20s. I know.
Out of the 15 women they've met, you're the best.
I bring nobody to my family.
You can meet nobody my you can meet my family at the wedding.
Yeah.
Like... No. What do you want to meet my family for?
I don't tell my family.
No, it's none of your business.
I don't need anybody.
Mm-mm. No. No.
Unless I need a ride.
Yes, unless I need a ride or if it's like...
this guy dropping me.
It's an emergency situation.
Yeah.
We got to use a toilet.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, this is a guy I've been dating for 6 months.
Yeah.
He has to pee.
This is your new uncle.
Yeah. Keep it small.
To my nieces and nephews. Yeah. Hello.
Hello.
We get in a... All right. So not 3 weeks after we meet her family, we get into a fight about a haircut of all things. Specifically,
well, it's not ever really about a haircut, but okay.
Specifically, I said my hairdresser might do a bit of an undercut to help me grow out my Cameron Esposito style side mullet.
I don't, what?
A side mullet. I had to look it up.
Walk me through it.
A side mullet.
Education.
Cameron Esposito style.
Okay.
So imagine... long hair.
Okay.
Bangs.
Okay. What you have going
what
on.
What I have going on. Okay. Now, take this whole side, shorn it down really close to the scalp.
Okay. It's a side shave.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. They're calling it a side mullet.
Why? We used to do that all the time. Shave the sides.
But it's like a whole big chunk.
Yeah. That was like a thing in college. Okay.
So if listeners, if you're wondering what I'm doing because you can't see me pulling back my hair for quite a Cameron Esposito.
Or you could just imagine Beavis turned to the side with a slight shave. Okay.
So she'd been planning to get a side mullet, then said I'd been copying her and that I always copy her.
Uh-oh.
When I told her that the accusation hurt my feelings, she didn't acknowledge me and refused to talk about it and basically stormed off.
I would think one of the cool things about being in a same sex or same gender relationship is that you could both get the same... rock the same haircut if that works for you, right?
Right
it could be like a fun thing, cute thing to do.
Yeah, just like matching outfits.
Yeah. Whatever.
Okay. She didn't message me for over 24 hours, and so I initiated contact and asked if we could talk about our fight. She agreed, and I went into the conversation expecting an apology.
About the side mullet.
Yeah. Instead, I got I feel unsure about our relationship is going, and I'm feeling pressure for it to be building towards something which I can't commit to.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I felt completely blindsided. I told her if she didn't want it to be more serious, she was sending mixed messages, to which she replied that she wasn't quite, wasn't quite what she wanted, and she'd been trying to test out a more serious relationship before realizing she wasn't ready for it.
What?
So she was like...
And this was all triggered by a side mullet?
Yeah.
I mean, I could see if it was becoming like a single white female thing.
Yeah.
Where it's like, I get a side mullet, and all of a sudden she's got a side mullet. Then I start wearing stilettos, now she's wearing stilettos. Yeah. You know, like, if you are morphing into... You know, I've seen this actually with gay couples that I've known.
Mm-hmm.
Over time, I'm like, neither of you guys dressed like that before. Why are you both dressing like that now?
Yeah.
Why are you both wearing, the same glasses? But then you have to be okay with it, is what I'm saying. Like, you have to want to do that. Mm-hmm. But I can see it could be freaky if all of a sudden your partner... starts doing all the same things you do.
Yeah, that's true. But if it's but if it's kind of a fashion thing that's going on at the time, especially
in your community,
you can't say that. Like if I, in the 90s when I got the Rachel haircut and then my friends were getting the Rachel haircut.
If you were like, why are you biting on my style?
Yeah, you can't really say that because was popular.
So if like, a lot of young women are getting this side mullet.
Yeah. So you can't really say that that's my
True. Yeah. Okay.
So, basically, she was trying out this serious relationship, seeing if she was ready for it. She wasn't. She didn't want to waste any more of my time.
Okay. Look, I don't want to waste your time.
Yeah. I still can't quite figure out what happened. She was never
that side mullet
that into it. And had been seen if taking it more seriously would change how she felt about me, or did she start to get serious and she got freaked out? I know if this was her response to an argument about a haircut, that this is for the best.
Yes.
Yeah.
You got out of there. Haircut. Yeah. You know what? Go get both sides cut.
Yeah.
Get a double side mullet.
The double mullet.
Yes. Just give you a side mullet? Okay, that's interesting. All right.
I just can't help but overanalyze where I might have gone wrong.
You've done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah. I can't tell if she had been secretly resenting me for months or if she was making up reasons to push me away. Do I dare hold out hope she'll change her mind? Signed, undercut. P.S. I totally got a revenge undercut.
You showed her.
Yeah.
You showed her. This is an interesting one.
Yeah. Right?
Because, I'm not really good at this because I had such disdain for relationships when I was younger. When I was in my 20s, anyone who was in a serious relationship, I was like, you're a fucking fool. Like, what, you know what I mean? What are you doing?
It was.
Why would you be in a serious relationship? Like, none of us know what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We, you know, we're all young and out there. We're supposed to be getting laid, running around.
Yeah.
We're not going to be with the same person. We're not going to be with the same person.
Be yes. the same person yourself. You're
yeah.
Not, I wasn't the same person that I was at 21.
From January to you know, the end of that year, you could be a completely different person.
Aren't you horrified at some of the things that you, ideas you had?
Yes.
And things that you did?
But I also had a feeling that most of my ideas were bullshit, and then I was in a state of flux.
Yeah.
So I didn't make a, and I just saw relationships were just like, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, who needs it? I'll have them when I'm 30.
I have a photograph of myself. I borrowed my cousin's t-shirt, and I was like, this is a fine t-shirt, especially for 4th of July.
This is a fine t-shirt. Yeah. Already I know it's going to be horrific.
It was an American flag, and it said, these colors don't run.
Are you kidding me? And yeah. You thought that was okay?
Yeah.
It wasn't ironic.
I didn't.
You didn't know what was going on.
I didn't know what was going on.
You're like, I'm going to show my patriotism.
Yeah, I was like, American flag.
These colors don't run.
Yeah, I was like, sure, why not? I have a nice photo of me sitting there, very happy. 4th of July.
I have a horrible...
just don't know.
I have a horrible picture of me, probably around the same time, and I am sporting what I thought was going to... It was like a rose-colored jean jacket. But it wasn't just a regular jean jacket. It was a bit avant-garde, so it kind of had a Dolben sleeve.
Are you kidding?
I'm not kidding.
Oh, my God.
Why would I make this up? It's awful. Then I was wearing a Benetton t-shirt that mm-hmm. said Benetton on it. Mm-hmm. And then I was wearing some Benetton pants that I had that looked like I either should have been about to go to sleep, mm-hmm. but they had a crazy pattern on them. They looked like, and I had them rolled, cuffed, and rolled at the bottom to make them tighter. And then I was rocking two pairs of socks and a pair of tree torns. So, do you see what I'm saying? Like, I thought that was okay. And I'm posing in the picture. I popped the collar.
Oh.
I'm coming up from behind it.
Oh, no.
Giving the camera a little eye because I want everybody to know. That I'm looking good. And that outfit. Oh, yeah. It's embarrassing. It happens. This is what I'm saying. So I kind of took that feeling of like, I think this is good and I know it's, and it probably isn't. I took that into my 20s and with relationships being like, I think it's a good idea to be with this guy. It couldn't possibly be. Because I'm 24.
Yeah.
This can't possibly be a good idea.
Man. And you're with these guys and you don't know what your priority should be.
No. You're like, I'm with this guy.
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing right now.
He looks good to me.
He looks okay. Then you look back later, you're like, what?
Oh,
a side mullet would have been a dream on this guy. Like, that would have upgraded the shit out of this guy. And look at me. Like, I'm not saying I was great either. You know, what were they thinking?
Yeah. Yeah, right? Like, yeah. What are we all
they obviously didn't care.
Yeah.
Anyway, so.
Shameless in their judgment.
Yeah. Didn't care at all. Now I'm wearing a Canadian tuxedo. No problem. No problem.
I was wearing overalls with a sweater underneath. And
I've been there.
Sweater underneath.
Mm.
It's like, what are you doing?
I saw a woman on the train. She was a student. And she was wearing the exact same outfit I remember wearing when I was a sophomore, like 20-some years ago. It was blue and white striped conductor's Oshkosh Bagosh overalls.
Nice.
Boots. And then a long john top underneath. And a small beanie. She looked like a real dick. And so did I 20 years earlier. But I'm just looking at her going, I thought that was a good idea. Do you think that's a good idea?
Yeah.
You know, like, but then you'll realize very soon that it was not.
Yeah. When I was younger.
Do you know what they look like from the back overalls? Terrible. It's like you're carrying a load. You know? It's like a union suit hell back there. It's awful.
I would shop at the thrift store when I lived in Aspen.
Oh, I was all about thrift store, and everything I bought there was terrible.
Yeah, I bought so many
stuff from the 50s.
That might have been okay.
Maybe.
Not on me. Together. Put on a bunch of things together.
Were you like me? You had like middling style. You had an idea what style was, but you couldn't achieve it.
I couldn't.
I was halfway there.
And try to copy what everyone else is doing. Yeah. Should I push up the sleeves?
I'm like, how come it doesn't look good on me? Exact same outfit. I look like a bag lady. Yeah. She looks like Kate Moss. What happened? Yeah. All right. So what is the advice? Right, we digress.
Okay.
Point being, when you're in your 20s, you don't know what's going on.
Right. So nobody knows what's going on.
No, we barely figured it out now.
Silly. His advice. Do you want her to change her mind? If one, she wants to get back, and two, you take her back, you would constantly have to worry about being dumped a second time or third or fourth time for some seemingly and very likely random, completely bullshit reason.
Yeah, like a bracelet.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all symbolism. Mm-hmm. It all is, you know, the haircut doesn't mean the haircut.
No, it's not about the haircut. Yeah. He should have addressed that right away.
Unless your ex comes through with a really good explanation for her meltdown, were her parents pressuring her to marry you? Did she see a particularly triggering episode?
Mm-hmm. I hope not. I mean, they're a little young for people to be pressuring them to get married, right?
Yeah, and that explanation
comes students.
Yeah. And that explanation comes bundled with an apology or some breakthrough insight into herself. You shouldn't want her back. Yeah, really. There are some people
who
be horrendous and mm-hmm. then realize it and apologize and be really contrite. And that's okay. Because it's growth. And that's what we all do. Or should do.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah. Okay.
I like to leave a trail of tears and flames.
Okay. Maybe I'm not being fair to your ex. She did give you an explanation. She's not ready for a relationship.
I think that's legitimate.
Yeah, that's an explanation. Yes.
It's nice. It wasn't like, look, you stink.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but it's almost always a bullshit explanation and or a white lie meant to spare the dumpy's feelings.
No, you know, sometimes that's correct.
Yeah.
But how do you just say to someone, and I tried to do this when I was younger and dating or whatever I was doing, one night standing.
Yeah.
And be like, I'm just not attracted to you.
Yeah.
People don't like that either.
No, they don't want to.
I was like, I just physically don't find you appealing.
How about, we don't have any chemistry.
Yes. I was drunk.
Yeah.
You know, like these things.
You'd be great for someone else.
Yeah.
How do you say it?
It's like there's no good way to tell someone that their breath is stank and you can see wavy lines coming out of their mouth. Like, there's no good way to do it. And he should just say, look, this is what you're going to have a lot of relationships in the next couple of years that aren't going to work.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling.
Or you might find the next person.
Maybe, but hopefully not. Because then you'll be with them. And then when you hit to 40, you'll be like, what the hell did I do?
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. Can you?
Can you imagine?
At a very young age, being with somebody.
No.
And then.
I got married for the first time at 24,
mm-hmm.
and I knew it was a mistake at the moment, because I was like, what am I doing? I'm 24. Like, mm-hmm. why is it? No one's stopping me.
Yeah.
You people are fools. It's very young, you know, in our culture.
I had a string of all mistakes.
Yeah.
And I knew it.
Yeah.
I'm like, you are a mistake.
Yep, this is a mistake.
Come on over to my place.
Come on over. See, after it's over, like, that was terrible. See you next week.
Yeah.
That's how it is.
Yeah.
You date people briefly and then you break up.
Yeah.
And then you look back and you're like, ooh.
Yeah.
That's what Facebook is for.
Isn't it?
Facebook will go back and show you, I was right.
Oh, yeah. You're right about them all.
Yes.
And it wouldn't have worked. Wow.
That's why it didn't work.
It didn't work, yeah. And there's nothing, and you know, and they're fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's nothing wrong with
some
them.
Of them are fine people. There's some people.
And isn't it great also if a guy hits on you, you're like, no, I'm not interested. And then you see it's like terrible down the line.
Yeah.
You're like, oh.
My mom once told me a story about how all of her friends got married very young because we live in a small town mm-hmm. and it's rural.
Mm-hmm.
So she was very career minded and going to school because all her friends were like, I don't know who you think you are. You know, you better get married, better get these good guys, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And she said she looked back at all those good guys who had, like, tried to get with her when she was younger. She was like, okay, he's an alcoholic.
Yeah.
He ran off.
Yeah.
He's screwing everybody.
Terrible provider.
Never had a job, you know. And she's like, that's called dodging a bullet. Right. Yeah.
You know, somebody was saying, I think it was, like, my early 30s. And somebody was, like, married, smug, sitting there. Well, all the good ones are gone after 30. And I was just like.
Mm-hmm. Some of them were never good. Really. Some of them were never good.
Yeah.
You know. Bizarre. All right.
Okay, so back to the advice here. Okay, so after you, sparing the dumpy's feelings.
The dumpy.
And she wasn't really dating you. She was using you to test herself, and she was dating you to see if she was ready for a real relationship. That seems like a pretty shitty thing to do someone, in my opinion. And it brings me back to my original point. Why would you want her back? Look on the bright side.
Yeah.
There are worse things than being young. Single.
I was going to say, please.
Blush. And in grad school. There's like tons of lesbians in grad school.
Yeah.
Get out there, rock the side bullet, and have some fun. And then, update, I sent your question to Cameron Esposito, and she sent some bonus advice.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, she's like, rock that side mullet.
She said, first, I commend you for your taste in advice columnists. Dan has been my go-to for years, so it should come as no surprise that I tend to agree with him here. Well, maybe he wrote that.
Yeah.
I don't know. When I look back at my relationships that ended for no good reason, I'm often struck by just how many reasons there were. Mm-hmm. If you never figure out what went south with your ex, rest assured that even with open and honest communication, relationships are hard as shit.
Yeah.
They really are. I mean,
well put.
Yeah. You deserve someone committed to open conversation and as willing to fight for your relationship as you are. Go get them. Yours in hair, Cameron.
That's interesting. Yeah, I didn't, once again, maybe this is just because I was raised by robots. Relationships were never really that important to me. Mm-hmm. So when a relationship that I had with a guy, say I dated someone for like 6 months, it was over. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
Moving on. Mm-hmm. But I remember some of my friends being like, why? And it's like, who cares, man? Yeah. He's gone.
Yeah.
Keep it rolling.
Yeah.
It's over, right? You're never going to know.
Yeah.
They're never going to tell you. And even if they do, what?
I saw so many failed relationships as a kid.
Me too. I just looked around my neighborhood.
Bad marriages.
Yes.
Really awful stuff going on. Like one neighbor, they were in their early 40s, and they were newlyweds.
Which is strange when we were kids.
And then it was like,
they were happy.
And he was wealthy and she was lovely. And it was.
It sounds like a jazz song.
He was wealthy. She was lovely.
Yeah.
Let's fall in love and get married.
Yeah.
And they moved in and they were wonderful. And suddenly he wasn't around that much anymore. And she showed up with bruises.
What?
Yeah,
see?
And he was beating her.
Yep.
Yeah. And it was like, what?
I saw a lot of stuff like this too growing up.
And you see the cheaters.
Yeah, you see like your, you know, someone who you call, we call everyone uncle because it's like a term of endearment for an older person. I mean, you would see someone who your great uncle or something, and you're like, hey, wait a minute, that's not my great aunt.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Yeah.
Or, you know, this kind of thing, bruises, or just like you would go to someone's house and see something weird, the alcoholism, the abuse, all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, I didn't have any illusions.
The way that people ran their homes, it was like, this is how other people live.
Sometimes it's shocking when you go into when you're a kid and you know some adults and you go into their house, you're like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
It's like a chamber of horrors in here. Yeah. Like, what happened?
Yeah, it's either like a total, like, chaotic mess and there's a lot of anger and you know, all these insults and things going on, or it's really controlled.
Yeah.
And it's like a museum.
Or there's like an ass load of porn. You're like, this is way too much porn. Usually like 4 or 5 mags. This place is like a library.
Yeah.
What's going on, Mrs. C? Mr. C?
Yeah, but they're saying, so, you know, relationships, I mean, they're cracked up to be.
Yeah, I would just say, and I'm, you know, this is the opposite to most people I know, I just don't put a lot of stock in that shit. Get your school together, work on yourself.
Yeah, and
you
get
know,
some money.
Get some money.
You have to have your retirement, your emergency.
You got
to
get all that stuff. I'm not saying ignore the relationship stuff, except that I'm saying it's not as important as you might think it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're in school, work on that.
Yeah.
You know?
For sure. Have a good time.
Yeah.
Have a good time. When you have people who are upset over something as trite as a haircut.
Yeah. Run. Hot foot it. That's interesting. This is why no one ever asked me for advice.
Yeah.
Because my friends are like, I broke up with him. I'm like, that guy was a douche.
Yeah.
And keep it rolling. They're like, that's not what I want to hear. I want to hear. I was like, that's it. That's how it is. You're awesome. He's a douche. Keep it rolling. Or in the reverse.
Mm-hmm.
Change around the pronouns. So speaking of... an assault. We have some barnyard news.
Oh, by the way, we want to say thank you again to.
Oh yeah, thank you, Julia.
Thank you, Julia, for sending
that in.
That's very awesome. Thank you for listening.
Yeah.
And gosh,
we got a good 20 minutes out of it.
Yeah.
We mostly talked about our damn selves.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is from the Japan Times, which is an English language newspaper in Japan, and it's about Carpageddon.
What?
So apparently, It's dubbed Carpageddon. It's a latest plan to control an introduced species in Australia. So I guess someone has introduced carp. They introduced carp into Australia, like a non-native species. And it's been going nuts to the point where they have been trying to eat it. They've been trying to kill it. So now they decide the only way they can eradicate this thing is to give them herpes.
What?
It says...
What?
The National Carp Control Plan, which they're calling Carpageddon, will cost $15 million Australian to spread the virus of herpes through the aggressive common carp that was introduced to Australia in the 1800s. They're giving these fish the gift that keeps on giving.
And herpes. Do they die from it?
Yeah, so apparently what happens is...
Yeah, because nobody wants to have sex with them.
No.
When they are open sores. The other carp are like, ew.
So apparently the guy who was behind Carpageddon is Agriculture Minister Barnaby Joyce, who was famous for threatening to kill Johnny Depp's dogs when he illegally imported them into the country.
Oh, okay.
Without going through quarantine. So it says Joyce, that's the guy's, Minister Joyce, strutted and yelled an extraordinary show in Parliament on Monday. In a booming rasp, with a red face, he branded the fish disgusting mud-sucking creatures and kept shouting, carp! And venereal disease, to the amusement of some of the other ministers. So this guy's running around the parliamentary area, yelling about VD, yelling about carp, calling them names, and these other gentlemen and women are just laughing, snickering, because he's a nut.
Yeah.
He said, carps are the worst freshwater aquatic pest in Australia. They're costing $500 million a year. So basically...
How did he get that number? $500 million. What are they doing? Are they knocking down buildings?
$500 million a
and
year.
And who's gonna give them the carp the herpes? Are they going to round up a bunch of guys who are infected and be like, have at it?
They've done it before. This virus, the herpes, the carp herpes was developed in Israel.
Little wigs they put on the carp to make
yes. Hey, ladies. Yeah. Condoms. Girl, I'm clean. It says, we've seen it in lakes in Japan, and they put their herpes in. So the fish are okay for 2 weeks. They're singling and they're mingling. They're getting it, and then all of a sudden, 24 hours, boom.
Spawning and yawning.
Yeah, they drop dead. Says it attacks the carp's kidneys, skins, and gills. They stop breathing.
What does it do to everything else? What if you take a dip in that water?
It's only... Don't fuck a carp, is what they're saying to the other fish. Like, it's only for carp. So this herpes is specifically for the carp.
It's only the carp is going to
That's what they're
it.
Saying. Only the carp
yeah,
is going to
Yeah, I don't believe that.
So, like, other sardines and starfish and other things are fine. It says they've used it in other places before. They have a virus for a week. They show symptoms. So I guess they get a little like... Hey, Manny, what's going on? What's that around your lip there? What's that around your gill? And then in 24 Ooh, hours...
nipples on a hook or something.
You're like, everyone stayed home today. So, yeah, they get the herpes. They have it for a week. They show a symptom. And then in 24 hours, they are dead. So they're calling it Carpageddon. I did a little more research on this. The problem is, as with many things in Australia, when you introduce non-native species to an island nation...
Oh.
They quickly...
Disaster.
Yeah, like the rabbits, like the sheep, like all the other things that they brought there. They have, you know, wreaked havoc on the environment and the other species. But it's just like, we've tried everything. We tried eating them. We tried killing them. Have we tried VD?
So,
you know, like, why? Yeah. So they're going to...
I don't understand why they're a problem. What are they doing? It's such a problem.
Oh, they are... destroying everything else. So they're destroying all the plants. They're destroying the habitat for other fish. Oh. And they're very aggressive.
Oh. So they have an attitude problem.
They have an attitude problem. And apparently they like
they
to...
kind of give you bump your shoulder as they go by.
They like to, I will say, fish bone down. Because I guess that's how the herpes is going to be spreading. I don't, yeah. So they've tried trapping, fishing, and exclusion. That's expensive and ineffective. Apparently the carp just keep on rolling.
Okay.
So herpes is going to do it. Carpageddon. Australia's Carpageddon. To unleash herpes on fish.
Wow.
Crazy, right?
That is crazy.
I know, that's the barnyard news.
I got the four R's. #NYC.
All right, what do you have?
I have Tales from the Campfire.
Oh, Tales from Your Campfire is a segment where we find tales on the internet that are fake lore, folklore, unnatural tales of horror,
ghost stories,
and the like, and we retell them here around the digital campfire. So please gather around.
Gather around.
This is a herpy-free zone.
This one's called The Tree Fort and My Invisible Cousin.
Okay.
It's from Canada.
Okay.
This is, again, from Your Ghost Stories.
Which okay.
People.com. Yes, the people that write their own experiences.
Yeah.
Not necessarily writers.
Okay. So but they've got something to say.
They got something to say. They're doing the best they can.
And they're usually a middle-aged adult.
And this one is a middle... And yeah, for some reason, it has this... Well, it has a demographic. Screen name. It's by Kindly Refrain. And they say...
Kindly Refrain. Yeah. Okay.
And they say the age, you know, roughly of...
Okay.
I don't know why, but they do. And they say this is I a middle-aged adult.
I wonder if they ask you to put your name and gender in and they convert it to middle age. You're like, I put 42. That's not middle age. Well, guess what, lady?
Guess what?
It
in
is.
In Canada?
Yeah, in Canada it is.
It is.
In the Great White North.
Okay. I need to preface my story with an explanation. Hopefully.
Go on, then. You know? Let's just do it. We all know what that's about.
Yeah. To fend off suggestions of copycat or plagiarism.
Okay.
My childhood story so closely resembles a recent posting called The Tree that some may doubt.
Mine
is an original story, so I assure you that it is.
I have to preface this by saying there's a series of films called Jurassic Park that sound eerily similar to my story, but I'd like to let you know. They are in
I
fact
have a story
not.
About dinosaurs.
Yes.
That, in an amusement park.
That roam the earth again.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum. Okay.
Others may not think of it as a supernatural experience, and I must admit that as a young lad, I did not either.
Okay. That's why he's middle-aged.
Why did he say young lad?
I don't know. As a young scamp.
Only years later did I think that what we said at the time may have invoked something best not trifled with.
Okay.
On to the occurrence, then.
Thank you. Commercial. And we're back. Tonight on MyGhostStories.com.
Yeah. My parents and many of my aunts and uncles immigrated to Canada from the Netherlands. Most of them settled in various areas of southern Ontario.
I always imagine that is like, as opposed, this is my bias, I imagine they were like doing really well and then just packed up their things nicely and then came to Canada.
Yeah, that's what I always think too. Yes. I think that it's just like, we should move.
Yeah, it's getting quite tiresome around here.
Yeah. Just
all like, these freedoms.
Yeah, gotta go. I was born in Canada.
Pack your Louis Vuittons.
I was born in Canada, as most of my cousins, and because my mother and my aunts and uncles were close, we made the trek to visit them quite a few times a year. We loved visiting our cousins, and in the summer, we would get to stay for a week at a time at a different cousin's place, and they, in turn, would stay in our house.
Good Lord. Okay. You could have put this in the preamble.
Oh, God, that's exciting.
Yeah.
On one such occasion, my older brother and I were staying for a week at my cousin John's.
Okay, quote, unquote.
Home. Yeah.
Can you give him an ethnic name? Johan or something.
Yeah, I know, right?
Spice it up a bit. I don't even know if that's
John's
from the Netherlands.
John's country house on 10 acres. There may be, we were maybe 12 or 13 years old having great fun together. One of the games evolved into pretending that John's younger brother, Mark, was made invisible by us.
Okay.
Mark was around 8 or 9.
Mm-hmm. And he was dull.
And was enjoying this.
Yes.
We carried the game on too long and eventually Mark was no longer having fun. And was becoming frustrated. He would say something, and three of us would say, "Did you hear something?"
That's so rude.
So it is the worst when you are the object of this game.
As God.
And you're tired of it. And you're like,
I really want
to go get a peanut butter and jelly.
Did someone say something about peanut butter and jelly? Nah.
No, it's just the wind.
Yeah.
That was the
Let's get
answer.
Twizzlers instead. Let's get a Taylor ham.
Yeah. Or he would touch us, and we would say, "I think I felt something, but I'm not sure what. But where is Mark?"
Oh, yeah, it doesn't sound like great fun.
Well, to prevent tears, we decided to bring Mark back. The three of us hatched our method and decided to use an incantation.
Okay.
To bring Mark back into our dimension. We would say it in unison and then go poof, and we would all see Mark.
I love, that's so only kids poof.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Poof. Okay.
We decided to do this in a tree fort and invited the invisible Mark to join us, the three of us up there. The tree fort was not a conventional box way up in a tree. It was a large platform made of two sheets of plywood with plenty of joists to support the floor.
That doesn't sound unconventional, but go on.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
Yeah, it's like a platform.
Yeah.
Fine.
That's your fort.
Yeah.
What are you watching too many Tarzan movies?
Yes,
where
Tarzan's
got the whole thing with Cheetah and Jane up there. Like
no, none of that ever happened.
Yeah.
Putting, I know, right? Decorating.
Yeah,
he's home.
You see the first Tarzan where he first met Jane and the thing he lived in?
Yeah, it wasn't cute.
It was not cute. Yeah. It was like a mountain of dirt covered yes. with moss up in a tree.
Yes. And she, then he gets a woman. He's like, I got to put at least a ledge or something up here.
But it was like this whole, it looked scary. And he dragged her in there. And she's like, Tarzan, aren't you something? Ooh, oh, my.
It's like a filthy mound of shit up in a tree.
Yeah, and she loved it up there.
No joists.
Yeah. But she wasn't. It was not going to last too long.
Yeah,
and they were like,
"Well, it's cute for a weekend."
Yeah, she was like stretching in the morning, like, "Ah, oh, it was the best night of my life."
I know. Let me get out of here.
Yeah, they gave her a really nice one afterwards. Anyway, so here we are back in Canada here. Anyway, this was anchored at about 8 feet up in the sprawling tree that supported the joists on the branches very sturdily. My mm-hmm. uncle, who built the fort, was a skilled forestry worker and also a good carpenter.
Is he in the story? Or he's just getting a shout out for his skills? We need a ghost editor.
Yeah, he was probably standing over him as he was writing.
Yeah. Did you get that part in about how I've got skilled?
And I'm a good carpenter.
Yeah, it's not some BS. It's joists, yeah. Damn it.
Yeah. It was now time for the incantation. The three of us said in unison, evil spirits, hear my plea. Bring Mark back to me. Needs a little bit more.
Yeah, they need to work on that. I am it. The meter's off.
Yeah. Did it bring Mark back? Well, sort of. The game ended abruptly.
But he was weird.
He was weirder than ever.
Yeah.
Well, the game ended abruptly in a very unexpected way.
He burst into flames. Like, I hope something happens.
As we said, the last syllable of the incantation.
The me part, right?
Yeah. Me. Back to me. The whole tree fort lurched and fell out of the tree. It did not tip and dump us out. Yeah. The whole 8 by 8 feet of the fort just lurched sideways mm-hmm. and down and flopped on the ground.
Well, I'm going to have to revise what I said then about this uncle who got the shout out. That seems like a poorly built structure.
Yeah, right. The fort remained intact.
It just fell out of the damn tree.
But there were no broken branches in the tree.
Okay, so the tree was on point, but the fort stank.
Yeah. We were scattered on the fort's floor, and other than a huge surprise and a few bumps and bruises, no one was really hurt. Mark, by the way, was now very visible. We had no explanation for what happened, and the whole evil spirit thing meant nothing to us.
Mark's story is that he prayed for those assholes to be dumped out of that tree.
Mark was cutting the bolts yes. in the tree. Oh. So we did not even think to mention to my uncle when we told him the fort fell out of the tree. We just figured it was weird. I can't remember what my uncle thought about the whole thing.
He's like, luckily no one got hurt. Tell no one.
Yeah.
Here's candies for each of you. Candies for each of you. I'll just tell him I took it down.
My brother and cousins, both ministers, by the way.
Huh? Now?
Now. Why did you include that now?
I don't feel
so
like,
weird.
They both became, okay, fine. Because of that experience? Probably not.
Maybe. And I still talk about this when we get together. We all remember it pretty much the same way, although we can't figure out how the fort could have fallen out of the tree naturally. We do allow that it is possible in retrospect. However, we all agree.
It could have happened because it did, but not like this. You know.
We all agree that the evil spirit part of the incantation was a very poor idea.
Yeah, probably.
What a polite Canadian yes. story.
It was ill-timed.
Yeah.
Ill-conceived.
So the fort wasn't just thrown up in the tree, and it was attached to the branches.
Yeah, but then it became unattached. They left out the part that they were jumping around.
Yeah,
furiously,
right?
They were all on one side of
right,
it.
Right.
And also the bit about the kid on the ground having some kind of a buzzsaw.
Yeah.
As well, getting into it. I like that.
And we all remember the story the same way.
Yes.
The ministers.
Of course.
Because you got to put that... I guess he's trying to make it a little more credible.
That doesn't make it credible for me.
It doesn't, yeah.
A minister is just another person.
Yeah.
With a dog collar. Okay, so I got some hashtag penis news. Uh-huh. This is my favorite segment. I like to report on dicks in the news, mm-hmm. member on the move, scrotum stories. So this is a barnyard / penis news.
Oh, okay.
So apparently, there was a photo that was shared on Facebook that appears to show a frog. With a disturbingly huge penis.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
I heard
this
about
thing?
This, yeah.
But there's just one problem with that. Frogs don't have a penis.
Oh.
They don't.
Okay.
They do not have a penis. So basically what this was it was an extra leg.
Oh.
That was growing. Between like so there, he had two fully formed legs. And then he had another third
so
leg.
So he could go to his friends and say, yeah, I have a third leg.
Uh-huh. Exactly.
And they'd be like, yes.
I have a third leg.
You do have a third leg.
But it's just funny the idea that someone was like, this frog has a gigantic penis. It's like, no, it doesn't. No frog has a penis.
Yeah.
So there's a thing.
You can tell people, like, oh, you have a frog penis. Yeah. People will be like, it's bigger than a frog's penis.
Yeah, sure. Sure. So apparently it's frogs don't have them. It's the formation of a penis is linked to an activity from something called a cloaca. It's a cavity at the end of the digestive tract. Mm-hmm. So in some animals, that develops externally and mm-hmm. forms into what the hanging dong that we all okay. know and love. Mm-hmm. You know, that's in a lot of the animals in the animal kingdom, including man. But for some animals, like the frog, it's there. It performs its own functions, mm-hmm. you know, so but it doesn't hang outside.
Okay.
So that's why it's for snakes. I mean, that would be kind of awkward, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
for a frog right. or a snake.
A snake.
They have a huge dong hanging out the side. How's it going to get around?
Yeah.
That's going to fuck up his whole locomotion. So for snakes and lizards, that it stems from tissue which forms in the hind legs. And mammals, it's from a tail bud. So it depends on where this cloaca thing is,
okay.
how it develops. In tailed frogs, the cloaca is equipped with an extension that aids reproduction. And the appendage is used to guide the sperm into the female's cloaca for internal fertilization.
Sure.
So, and then it says at the end of the article, amphibians in one way likely invented the penis. So they're saying they have the OG dick.
Wow.
The original peen.
Okay.
It stays inside. It's small.
Comes out to do its thing.
Nothing to hang about, you know. Nothing to write home about. So, yeah, penis news. If you see a picture of this frog out there with a huge dick, be aware that mm-hmm. it's just a third leg.
Don't worry about it.
Very interesting. It did look like a penis, though. But then I thought about all the times in my life I've seen frogs and, you know, the little bit I know about amphibians. And yeah. I'm like, I would think if frogs had penises, we would be talking about them in a little bit different way.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah. That's,
yeah, right? Yeah, there would be like a whole...
Yeah, we have a whole thing. And we would just have... We've seen frogs before, but I've never noticed... Hanging dong from a frog.
Yeah, because you know? I mean, they're sensitive.
Yeah, you know, like, hey, look at his chub. It's like, no, you don't see anything. No. It's smooth. It's like a Ken doll,
yeah.
basically. Maybe Ken has the same thing. The cloaca is just inside. So that is my hashtag penis news. I like to keep it upscale.
Okay.
And literary.
Yeah, which you did.
Yeah, which I did.
Well, I have some more barnyard news.
Oh, cool.
And it also kind of ties in with your earlier story about fish.
Okay.
Because it's about another fish in Australia.
Oh, really?
Yeah, scientists from
this
Australia.
This is one have herpes. This one's got the clap.
They told reporters they had spotted an aggressive fish that could walk on land, making its way towards,
An aggressive fish?
From Papua New Guinea. Yeah.
What counts as aggressive for a fish? It's on its way. Here it comes.
Basically, the native freshwater climbing perch can live out of water for days and has survived short saltwater treks
mm-hmm.
From Papua New Guinea towards Australia's Queensland.
How short is short? Like 20 feet? A mile?
It's... Every conservationist nightmare, this perch.
Why?
The invasive species can crawl on land and live without water for an astounding 6 days.
Wow.
Right? The fish, known for its ability to suffocate predators.
What?
Yeah. May now be heading to Australia after spending the last 4 decades spreading through Indonesia
mm-hmm.
With devastating consequences.
So I guess if you see him, shoot first, ask questions later.
Yeah, the climbing perch, it's extremely hardy and has successfully out-competed native species when populating a new environment.
You know, I'm imagining just like a road trip
of
these things.
Yeah,
you know, like they're stopping at a gas station.
So this is what it does. The climbing perch has been observed hibernating for up to 6 months in the mud
mm-hmm.
of dried-up creek beds.
So I've heard about these.
Right?
Okay.
And
I don't think they're the only fish that do this, though. Okay, go ahead.
Fish have lungs similar to humans.
Mm-hmm. Hey, evolution's a bitch.
Which allow it to breathe air on land. And the climbing perch has been able to get itself out of trickiest situations by swelling up when swallowed by large predators.
So what's the definition of a fish, then? Does that change what it is?
No. I guess.
Because we know what the definition of a mammal is. We get that a lot. Birds, fur, warm-blooded.
Fish swimming underwater, living underwater.
But
it can come out.
For six days?
But it also can smother, and it can swell up. And if it,
how does it smother? Like with his little hand?
Yeah.
Does it just come up to you at night? Like, don't say nothing. Don't friggin' move.
But the thing that it can swell up when it's swallowed.
Wow.
And choke. It's like... It maybe can't get out, but it's going to choke you.
Yeah.
If you...
We're both going down on this one, buddy. Maybe we should face him off against the carp.
Yeah, right?
With the herpes.
Right.
Hey, boys.
So they're actively monitoring the climbing perch or in the wetlands and educating local fishermen to report sightings.
Mm-hmm. If they see, if you see a fish strutting across the road,
you need to
you
tell
best
them
believe I'm going to call something. It a sighting. Yeah, if you see something like that, definitely do say something.
Yeah, can, so it's really a freshwater fish, but it can tolerate salt water, so
it doesn't care.
It's not going to stop.
Do we eat it? Because I feel like putting it on the menu
is
always the best way, you know?
That would be the best restaurant where you can pick your fish.
And it comes
and
over
it comes
to you?
And it walks out of the tank to your table.
Wow.
And then it's fried up, what is it called? Like hibachi style.
If you love a fish, let it go. If it crawls back over to you, it's yours.
To eat.
To eat. That's crazy and creepy.
Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
What a world we live in.
I know. Where fish can walk.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to Hey You Know It. Stay in touch with us during the week. Follow us on Twitter. Follow us on Tumblr. Go to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review. We'll read it on an upcoming show, regardless of content. As always, we love your emails. Send us an email at heyyouknowit@gmail.com with your comments, questions, and segment ideas. Emails will also be read on upcoming shows. Please tell your friends about us, because you know we don't advertise. And let them know we can be found on iTunes, at Stitcher.com, and at heyyouknowit.com. Thanks. There was a guy I dated. An article was written about him in a paper,
mm-hmm.
about how he was trying to. He was a very poor businessman. Mm-hmm. He could never get anyone to work with him, and apparently, he was trying to get kids who were running lemonade stands to like work with him. And these kids are like, "What do we need you for? Like, I got a good stand going here.
Are you
like what? I know. How embarrassing for me.
All right, kids.
Yeah." He's like, well, I'm like, what are you, like, the mob? They're running up, you know, he's, like, coming around with the VIG, trying to get, like, what's going on?
Get a piece of their sales?
I don't know, but it's like, why would a child who's, like, imagine you're, like, 8 years old, you got a good thing going, and you got water, you got lemonade, people are coming by, and all of a sudden this dude comes around, you got ice.
Ice is the key.
You got ice, and you got a guy coming around all of a sudden and be like, do you have linens?
Oh, God.
Like, what?
That's bananas.
Like, an army of children running lemonade stands? I don't know. So I was embarrassed by that. And then I was like, phew,
yeah.
You made the right choice, Amari. Anyway.